So, I want to talk to you guys a little bit about the power of saying yes and amen, right? Because those are two words that we're really familiar with saying a lot, especially when we're in church. Someone says a good word and you just immediately shout, amen. Yes. Thank you, Curtis. All right. So we get an amen, right? And that's something that, especially if you grow up in church, that's something that you're used to hearing a lot. So I just want to go into a little bit about what it means to say yes and amen and the power of those words. So first, what does yes even mean, right? It's going to be like this. All right, what does yes even mean? So yes can mean, I mean, obviously we use it to say like, yes, that's okay to do or whatever. But it can be like a sign of excitement, like yes, more pizza, always a good thing. It's used to answer a question if someone asks you something. It is also used to respond to being addressed. If someone yells your name, you can yell yes or yeah. It's used to ask for more details about something. You can ask, oh, yes, or oh, yeah, what do you mean by that? It is also used to prod for information. So I was wondering, and then followed by a yes from the other person. Overall, yes is used to show that you're committing to something, at the very least showing your support for that thing. Now, obviously, you guys already know that. We don't need to go back over this. Most of you are pretty intelligent individuals. So what is the point of even bringing up the definition of yes? And here's the reason why. So let me ask you a question in response to that question you might have is, have you ever tried to lead someone that was just not behind you or not behind the thing that you needed your help with? It's not a fun thing to try to do by any stretch of the imagination. It's awful. It's hard to form love and a deep relationship with that person. However, if you do say yes, and there's one specific person that wants you to say yes, and that if you say yes to, it makes life a whole lot easier. Any guesses who that person might be? Jesus. Hey, look at that one. The first one that I want to read to you guys about that, showing that he is pursuing you and that he wants that yes from you, is Revelation 3:20. Hey, there we go. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and eat with him and he with me. So obviously, well, not obviously, Jesus is not talking about a literal door here, right? He's not going to come knocking on the door and try to come in here. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about the door to your heart. And why is that important? Why is it important that he's knocking on the door to your heart and pursuing your heart, right? It's because he has a purpose and a plan for your life. Another scripture to talk about that is Romans 8:34. Hey, it works. Okay, Romans 8:34, I'm going to read from up here. Who is to condemn? Jesus Christ is the one that died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, indeed, who is interceding for us. Again, Jesus is pursuing us. He wants us with him. Revelation 21:3 as well, just to give you guys a couple so you know I'm not making this up. And I heard a loud voice. Other one. Did I? For Revelation? Revelation 21:3. That must have been my fault. Proverbs 21:1 is the one that I must have switched them. That's my fault. Sorry. I think this is it. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. That one's just about as clear as you can possibly get. He's literally saying, I will be their God, and I will dwell within them, right? Clear cut. Now, then we go to Proverbs 21:1. And this is kind of the reason for the pattern, right? This is why he wants your heart. This is why saying that yes is so important. It says, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wills. So, if God doesn't have your heart in his hand, can he turn it like a stream? Right? That's the crux of the matter is he can't guide and he can't lead if he doesn't have your heart. That's where your yes is important. It's important to come out and say, yes, Jesus, I am going to step out. Yes, I am going to have that faith. Yes, I am going to do those things you ask me, so he can turn your heart like a stream. All right, it is very easy for God to work and move in your heart when it is in it. Take two. It is easy for God to work and move in your heart when it is in his hands. Now, the next question is, how do we put our hands in his heart? And obviously, the easy answer is just say yes, right? All you have to do is say yes. He's knocking. He's pursuing. He is looking for that invitation at all times. We just read like 4 or 5 scriptures about that. He wants a deep, intimate connection with you, a heart-to-heart connection with you. Saying yes opens you up to all that God has planned for your life. Daniel just talked about how we can dream big, right? We can dream big. We have huge dreams. It literally says on the wall, dream big, aim high, right? So if we know that we can dream big and we can aim high, God wants to give us all of that and then more, because God's plan is bigger than anything that we could ever possibly imagine on our lives. Believe it or not, what he has planned for you is pretty awesome. I know that's crazy. Just to give you a couple scriptures, again, so you know I'm not just making it up. Genesis 17:6. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into a nations, and kings shall come from you. That's pretty powerful. Like, is that just me? Am I the only one that's like, all right, I take that. I'd settle for that one. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. Kings shall come from you. Genesis 39:2-6 is also a good illustration of this. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. First of all, can we stop there? That's pretty awesome. His Egyptian master, he was a slave at this point. His Egyptian master, who knew nothing about God, didn't even believe in God, knew that there was enough of a calling on his life for whatever that he put his hand to succeed and to become abundant, like to succeed and grow, right? That's pretty powerful that God was so clear and so evident in his life because Joseph had yielded his heart to God that he was able to succeed and it was able to be seen by every single person around him. Next scripture, verse 3 maybe? Or did we just read that one? All right, cool, thank you. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian house of Joseph for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. Now, Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. So if we go back to 4, verse 4, we'll go from there. Genesis 4. That's my fault. Okay, so Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him. And he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. So, like, first of all, that's pretty cool, right? Potiphar put him in charge of everything that he had, right? Now, what's important about that is Potiphar was the general, right? He was the general of the Egyptian army. So what does that mean? He's a pretty important dude. So to be in charge of every single thing that the general owns in all of Egypt, that's a pretty big step. Now, what's even more impressive is when you consider that Joseph was a slave, right? He had no rights. He was lower than the low. Potiphar could do whatever he wanted with him, and not a single person would question it. Whatever he wanted. And because of the blessing of the Lord on his life, and because he had yielded his heart to Jesus and said yes, he made him succeed abundantly above all things, and he made him overseer of all that he had. Moving on to verse 5, we can see that after he made him Lord, and from that time that he made him overseer, the Lord blessed the Egyptian house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. Not only did he bless Joseph, not only did he put him as overseer over an entire household, he then blessed the household that didn't even worship him or praise him just for Joseph's sake, all because his heart was yielded to him. I don't know if I can stress anymore how important that is, that yes, that I'm accepting that, because he wants to bless you, not just bless you, but bless the people around you, bless the people in your workplace, at your school, because the blessing of God is evident on your life. Moving on to verse 6. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge. Because of him, he had no concerns about anything but the food he ate. That's pretty powerful. The general left everything that he had in his charge and didn't even lose a wink of sleep. That's pretty powerful. Sounds pretty great, right? Like, to have blessing like that sounds pretty amazing. And it's just as simple as reaching out and saying yes to Jesus. You just have to reach out. He's knocking. He's pursuing. So This is amazing. Wow, great. We've moved on. We've accepted Jesus. Woohoo, go God. Now what? Great, we've got him. Now what do we do? I know that everything has seemed peachy keen and perfect so far. Now that we've accepted Jesus, we know that he's after us and we know the blessing that he has on for him. So now we have to move from yes to amen. And like a lot of the time, we kind of use those terms synonymously. We use yes and amen to mean the same thing, right? Like if someone says something and say, instead of saying yes, you just say amen and everyone knows what you're talking about. But now that we've yielded our hearts to Jesus, we have to move from saying yes to saying amen. Okay, there we go. Lost my spot. I'm not trying to tell you that once Jesus comes, it'll be perfect and he'll just come riding in on a unicorn and wave his wand and it'll be all fixed and perfect. Because that's not how it works, right? It's just not. The Lord says that there will be trials, but he will be with you in the midst of those trials. So it's important to know that those growing times are still going to happen. You're not just magically going to be like perfect all of a sudden. Sometimes you run into trials, mountains. Those are your trials that you might run into. When those mountains come, we have to begin to speak to them. Walk out the authority that has been given to us through God. Now we have to start saying the amens. We have to start agreeing with what God has said. If we look at Micah 1:4, and the mountains will melt under him, and the valleys will split open like wax before the fire, like water poured down a steep place. I don't know about you, but that's some pretty powerful imagery. The mountains will melt like wax. We're talking about rocks. Rocks don't just melt. There has to be a lot to move on them. They will melt, and the valleys will split before him, like wax before the fire. That's pretty powerful. Mark 11:23, this is a pretty well-known verse. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. God is personally guaranteeing you, if you speak to that mountain and believe and have no doubt in your heart, it will move. It has no choice but to move. One last verse is Matthew 17:20. Similar to the other one, he said to them, because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing will be impossible for you. Why? Why will nothing be impossible for you? Because you've yielded your heart to God. Because you're willing to say yes. Because you're willing to step out and take that chance and make that risk and take that leap that just maybe he's got a plan. Just maybe. Maybe. Wow, so these are some great promises, right? What are we to do when we speak and nothing seems to happen? What then? That's a pretty rough time. That's harder than a lot of the trials that you're going to face on your own. Is when you speak to something and you seek the heart of the Lord and you yearn for something to be done and it doesn't seem to be moving at all, or it seems to be getting worse. Those are some discouraging times. The answer is prayer, lots of prayer. But what else can you do while you're praying? Just reach out to him and continue to stand fast in your faith with him. You're on the climb, moving to overcome this mountain, right? So when you pray and it doesn't immediately move, sometimes you got to begin to take a step and take another step and just work through that process with him of moving. And this is where your amen becomes really important. And so I've talked a lot about amen, right? I've talked a lot about saying amen, saying yes, but what does amen literally mean, right? If we break it down to its simplest form, what is the definition of amen? Amen stands for so be it, or verily, truly, so be it. When we are saying amen at the end of a prayer or in response to something, we are saying to God, God, let it be so in this world. We are reaching up into heaven, grabbing a hold of whatever that is that we just prayed for and pulling it down. Let it be so. Let it come to pass. Proverbs 18:21 talks about this. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. The power of the tongue. All you have to do is speak it, and it will be so. So by praying and declaring from a position of authority, we are making it into existence. The amen is us saying to God, yes, make it so. We have that power. It is ours. All we have to do is say yes. So going back to the mountain really quick. A lot of the times we think, so we're mountain movers, we push the mountains out of the way. But sometimes in order to move a mountain, we have to start climbing in order to shift our perspective and begin to move that mountain out of our way. Sometimes it's as simple as, because if you're standing on the other side of the mountain's now moved out of your way. It's about changing your perspective to look at it and say, this is something that I can step through and step over. This is something that I can walk with God through to accomplish and overcome.
That's it.
Yes and amen.
All right. Amen. Yes. Amen. All right. We're just a little bit before 12 today, so we're going to get ready and go down for some lunch. Just a reminder to everybody that in the evening,